In Zayin Adar, it's going to be the Yahrzeit, of course, of Moshe Rabbeinu. The other very wonderful, great tzaddikim who are niftar on this day. Perhaps the most known of them, yet very mysterious of them, is Rav Yitzchak Isaac from Kalev. So there are a number of us sitting here who have the schus within the year to have gone to the kever of this tzaddik in Kalev. And on the kever of this tzaddik, Rav Yitzchak Isaac Kalever, it says, although I didn't notice it, it says on the matzeva, what he asked should be written there was, Haya yachal lilmod al hadaf. He knew how to learn a black gemara. Haya er l'chayid. Rav Yitzchak Isaac Kalever, his hiskarvus to Hasidus, there's different versions and stories of how he became close to the Derech of the Baal Shem. He's the first Rebbe in the Kalev dynasty. And he was so great in his time, and even in his passing, that the many numbers and thousands and tens of thousands of Chassidim who would go to the cave of the Noam Elimelech in Poland, equal to that were the Chassidim who went in Hungary to the cave of Yitzchak Isaac Kalever in that Kufa. He actually spent 9 years learning by the Noam Elimelech. And his first Rebbe was Rav Shmelka, the Rebbe Rav Shmelka from Nicholsburg. And again, there is different gyosos as to his karvus to Rav Shmelka, Rebbe Rav Shmelka. Perhaps the most well-known version is that Rav Leib Siris was makarv him. He says that he was once walking in a field and he noticed the young boy, and basically he snatched him and he brought him to Nicholsburg to learn by the Rebbe Rav Shmelka. Other stories, other versions of the story goes that Rav Yitzchak Isaac Kalever became a chassan by a certain gevir, and upon the engagement he asked that a room should be built for him just so that he can be engrossed in his Talmud Torah and his davening, serving Hashem with peace and quiet. And he asked that he should not be disturbed, never to be disturbed in that room. So once it happened, the Rav Moshe Leib Sasever came and he also spent time by his father-in-law. And he brought with him 9 other men, and they were looking for a 10th man in the city to make a minyan. So the father-in-law said, you know, I have a son-in-law in the room over here. Never comes out. Maybe you want to hop him for a 10th man. So that's exactly what happened. There were mishtatef Rav Isaacles with the minyan. And in the beginning of the minyan, so Rav Moshe Leib Sasever was saying korbanos. Saying korbanos like we do here before mincha. We say Parshas HaTamid and Parshas HaKetores. And he was saying, Esakeves echad taseh baboike v'esakeves hasheni taseh ben harboim. There's an inyan to say, to bring the keves achar in the morning and the second keves of the korban tamid in the afternoon. According to one girsi, he kept repeating it over and over again. B'dveikis, Esakeves echad, Esakeves echad, Esakeves echad, Esakeves. So Rav Isaacle got so nisragish from this, when he saw the dveikis that he said it. So after davening, he says, where do you get kvasim like that from? Where do you get kvasim like that? So he says, oh, you want kvasim like this? Come with me to Pshmelka, the Rebbe of Pshmelka. And that's what happened. He left everything behind and he went to Pshmelka. And that was the beginning. Nobody knew, the Tashra Rebbe writes that nobody can understand the greatness of the Kalev Rebbe of Isaacle. Nobody can make sense of it. Nobody can make sense of it. They didn't know what his nakuda was, meaning every tzaddik had a nakuda. And you were able to know from that nakuda tzaddik what his chias was and how his whole avodas Hashem came from that thing. But Rav Isaacle, everybody who was in the presence of Rav Isaacle felt that he was a tzaddik echad b'dorei. And in fact, the Divrei Chaim said that he wanted very much to be a Rav in the city of Kalev, because the Roshim of the Kedusha that Rav Isaacle left in his passing was so great that the Divrei Chaim, who was a Tzadik Adar, wanted to be Rav there in Kalev because of the Roshim that Rav Isaacle left. But for the most part, it was a hidden thing. What was the inyan of a vizikl? Niskala, though, at some point, I don't know if it was in his lifetime or after his lifetime, that the reason why this was because of the yisurim that he had in his life. It says that he was saved from yisurim leirom, that he had worms underneath his skin, and his whole body was filled with boils and all types of diseases. It came to such a point that he couldn't even wear any begadim, that they had to make special, very, very dakis, very light begadim that he would have to wear. And even it came to a point that he had such yisurim from that he would take it off also when he would go around, and wouldn't go outside like that, but he couldn't wear any levushim. Except on Shabbos and Yantif, he was ke'echad ha'adam. He didn't have any yisurim on Shabbos and Yantif. He was able to wear clothes like another mensch. Nothing would bother him. So once somebody asked him, why are you suffering so much? So he said, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us the Mashiach is mechulo p'sheinu. The Mashiach, that he suffers Yisurim on behalf of Klal Yisrael, to be mechaper on our avonos. So he said, I don't want the Mashiach to have to suffer for me, suffer for my avarice. So I'm a kabbal upon myself to suffer for my own avarice. That's what he said. But of course, as the Tzanzarov, not the Tzanzarov, but the Klausenberger Rebbe, who told many stories about the Rebbe Kalaver, He said that that of course was not the case. It wasn't that he was makabel yisurin upon himself, his own yisurin upon himself. He was makabel upon himself the yisurin of Mashiach. The Hainu that he knew that Mashiach was suffering so much, and he wanted to make it easy for Mashiach Tzidkenu. So he was makabel upon himself the sufferings of Mashiach, which is all the sufferings of Klai, so basically. So, but because he did this in a way that it wasn't seen to the normal eye that the sufferings which he had, unless those who were in close contact with him, for the most part, it was a big secret what was the godless of Isaac Oliver. Every tzaddik had their nekuda, but it was the fact that he was makabel upon himself, the yisurin of the generation, which attributed for his greatness. In fact, the Chayza from Lublin used to say that I see throughout the Welt, I could see everywhere in the Welt, the siddurim that the Yidden are having on Leil Seder. And I'm telling you that the Seder amongst all siddurim, which are taking place in Klal Yisrael, takes place of Isaac Oliver. And many tzaddikim would go to be by his Seder, like Lucius Levi went. And many tzaddikim, they felt that there was something special in Kalev that they had to come see. Although many of them were not his Talmidim per se, they were Talmidim of the Noam Elimelech, but he had a shame in the Welt that he had to be Rabbi Isaac Oliver. Because his stature was, we don't want to say, can't compare anybody to anyone, but the way that they flocked to the scene of the Noam Elimelech, they flocked to the scene of the Rabbi Isaac Oliver. And about these Yisurim, the Madrigas which he reached through these Yisurim, the Baba Rebbe once told over that the Kalav Rebbe was sitting with his Chavraya, and in one of the conversations of Isaacal, he said, if I would let out one real sigh, one anacha, I could bring the Geula like that. So the Talim said, so no, so go ahead, make an anacha like that. So he told them, he says, what can I do? I can't make a sigh like that. So the Bava Rebbe remarked, he said, everybody knows the great Yisurin which the Kalva Rebbe had. But he was makabel the Yisurin with so much ahava, that he couldn't let out a sigh for the Yisurin which he had because of the ava which he had, that he was makabel upon himself, the Yisurin Mashiach B'ahava. Couldn't let out even a sigh like that. We don't even know what that means. You know, we come to it, we thought that the light is going to be green and it's red, and we're like, oh, come on, a red light now? Right, but this is revisable. These are the tzaddikim that they work to perfect themselves in their moon and bitachon and the Ribbono Shel Olam. It's interesting that once a doctor asked revisable, he said it wasn't humanly possible to be able to be saved with such yisurin. So how is it that you makabel this upon yourself and you live a life? Of course, he's avodas Hashem. We can't even imagine the Torah and Tefillah. Nothing stopped him. The doctor says, how is this possible? So Isaacal said, he says, I'll tell you what I think. I said, the Yisurim of the past, they don't hurt me anymore. And the Yisurim of the future, why should I worry about them? The only thing I have to deal with is the Yisurim now. So okay, so I can deal with the Yisurim right now. That's what he used to say. I can deal with it now. That's not too much to handle. Every single Erev Shabbos, although he lived in Kalev, right, which is in Europe, so every single Erev Shabbos, he would make a Kvitzas HaDerech to go to be playable in the Mikvah, the Arizal, and Tzfas. Every single Erev Shabbos, he would go there. He would have Kvitzas HaDerech. And in fact, it wasn't uncommon that he would also be playable in the Be'er Shel Miriam. It says he was once walking with his Gabbai, Rav Yaakov Fish, who was actually the Alter Zeda of the Tasha Rebbe. He became very close to Rav Isaacal. In fact, the Maisa goes is that when Rav Isaacal went to Rav Shmelka from Nicholsburg, so he left his everything behind, his family, everything behind, and he went to Rav Shmelka, and he forgot about the family. You know, he just left the family, and how are they going to make a parnasa? So Rav Yaakov Fish, who was a hidden tzaddik, he took upon himself to support the family of Rav Isaacal Kalever, and he considered it to be his greatest chus in his life, that he took care of the family of Isaacal. And when Rav Isaacal came back from Nicholsburg, so he told him, Rav Yaakov Fish told him, I want you to become the Rav. I want you to become the Rav. So he says, oh, I need to become a Rav. Forget about it. It's not Shaykh. So he says, if you don't become the Rav, I'm going to be toveya you all the time and all the money that I put into being mefarnes your family. Because al pidin, he could be toveya that from him. So Rav Isaacal had no choice but to be Kabbal the Rabbanis, and he became the closest person to him. But he considered it to be, and of course, Min HaShemayim, Hashem had everything worked out for Rav Isaacal. But Rav Yaakov Fish was Mekabel that upon himself, and he considered that to be the biggest chus which he had to support the family of Rav Isaacal all those years that he was Davik in Kedusha V'Tahara and the Cheder of the Rebbe Rav Shmelka. It happened once that he would take along Rav Yaakov with him on these Kvitzas HaDerech trips to Tzfat. And one time he came back from Shabbos, and he came back in our Shabbos, and it was already Shabbos, and he was looking, he was, where's Rav Yaakov? And he remembered that he left him in Tzfat. So he went back after Shabbos to get him, and he says, what happened to you? So Rav Yaakov got to spend Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, but he forgot him on one occasion. Shachachti Yitzchak. So he came and he brought him back to... Have to bring it back to Kalev. Rav Isaacal was known for, and this is what Rav Amiga spoke about on the trip, he was known for his nigunim. He was known from his nigunim, and this is really what attracted Rav Leib when he heard the nigunim that he was singing. And he realized that the nigunim which he was singing were full of Kedusha and Tahara. What he would do is that he used to say that the Shar HaNagin and Shemayim only belongs to Klaisa. And he says that the nigunim, which the goyim sing, they're just fallen nitzaitzin, which belong to really to Klal Yisrael. They don't have any nigunim at all. And he would compose nigunim, which were sung by all the tzaddikim, tens of thousands throughout the world, his songs, and many of them we have today, the songs of Isaacal. That to hear the songs of Isaacal, people would be nischayef to tshuva. The way that this began was that once of Isaacal, He heard that there was a guy who was singing a niggun. He was singing a niggun. No, it wasn't a guy. I think it was. He called it a chazan here. That there was the Baba Rebbe said there was a chazan who was singing a niggun. And the Rebbe Rav Isaacal, he said on the spot to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and this is when he was in the cheder of Shmalka. Apparently, he says, Ribbono Shel Olam, if you give me a voice like this, I will serve you. I'll be makarv yinin to you through the songs which I sing. He says, in a moment, what happened was that the chazan was in the middle of singing. In the middle of singing, he lost his voice, and it was given over to Rav Isaacal. He took the voice right out of the mouth of the chazan. And so he stole the voice from the chazan, and he used that voice to be makarv yidin in the Avodas Hashem. He used to turn to his chassidim, and he would say to them, he says, what I do to my chassidim is that I take their neshamas, and I clean them up, and I give them back to them. So you'd say, take them, I clean them, and I give it back to them. And he used to say that anybody who comes to my tzion is going to be zeichet to a tshuva. They're going to have a cleaning at my tzion. So the famous song, the most famous of the songs of the Kalev Rebbe, the Vizikal, was Salam Ar Kokosh, which we sang by the Tzion. And the Tzanzarev, who I mentioned before, who was very fond and dovak to the Kalev Rebbe, says whenever he would sing this song, the Salah Kafisha song, he says the whole table was filled with tears when he would sing this song. And it's all based on Saita Satira. I don't even know exactly the translation. It's about a tarnagol and an oar. It's like what the peasants would say, you know, things like that. But the tzaddikim felt that the whole shiro was dveikus in the shechina and crying for the shechina kdesha. One of the very famous ma'isim with the Kalev HaRav was that that once that he didn't want to begin the Seder. And again, the Seder by him was a very special time. As we said before, the Chozer from Lublin used to say that the Ikar Seder in Klai Yisrael is by Rav Zal Kalever. In fact, it brings here that the Klausenberger Rebbe said that the Chozer from Lublin once remarked that I'm looking throughout all the Sedarim in Klai Yisrael, and I see all of the Seders taking place except for the Rav of Kalev. I don't see his Seder. So afterwards, they investigated into the matter. Why doesn't the Chozer see the Seder of the Kalev Rebbe? Because when he used to say the Seder, he would say it over in Lushan, in Hungarian. In Hungarian and not in Yiddish. And the reason why he did that, and the reason why he did it that way, was because he didn't want that the Malachim or anybody in Shemayim should know what he was saying. Because as is known by the Tzaddikim, they only did their Avodah Bilti Lashem Levada. Only that Hashem should know. So that none of the tzaddikim should see, the chayzah shouldn't see, the malachim shouldn't know. He said it in Hungarian. So that nobody should know and nobody should understand. It should go, only the Ribbono Shel Olam should know his avodah. That's how they did and how even still today the tzaddikim and how they conduct themselves. So it was once on a Leil Seder that he didn't want to begin the Seder. And he said, I'm not starting the Seder unless the Eibishter brings the Geula. That's what he said. Until what happened was that the Zion Royim had to come from Shemayim, obviously like in Yag Mashan Yosef David, and they begged him to start the Seder because they said it's still not the time for Mashiach to come. But they had to come down and to tell Isaac Oliver a special invitation they needed to come down and to tell him, you have to start because it's not the Zman. It happened also once and on the first day of Shavuos that he fell into a slumber. And the family, they saw that this wasn't a regular slumber. It wasn't a regular slumber. But they didn't want to wake him up. And he slept the first day of Shavuos, and it was the second day of Shavuos, and he was still sleeping. And he wasn't waking up from his dveikus. What happened, though, at one point, is that the wife was getting nervous, and she wanted to wake him. And there's different versions of the story. I forget who it was, but saying, don't wake him, don't wake him, don't wake him. He's piling things. She said she couldn't take it anymore. She thought that he would die. So she woke him up. And the Zidit Shaver says, Chaval, chaval, that you woke him up from his dveikus. It says, Chaval, chaval. Because he was in the Olam HaSal Yoin and he was making a big rash about the Geula. And he was coming closer to the Heichel Shem Mashiach. And had you not woken him up, he would have been Poyal the Geula. Many such stories like that by the Tzaddikim. But he was... yeah. This is his whole life was about the Shechina Kdesha, the Yisurim from Mashiach Tzidkenu, the Yisurim of the Shechina, and bringing the Geula. This is the whole life of Yitzhak Kalver, and this was the Zikr Nekuda. Yeah. Okay. It's a big, big tzaddik. Schul Siyagan Alein Amal Kaisa.